Now, it has been our custom night after night to read first from the Old Testament and then from the New Testament, but we will reverse the order this morning. We have already read together from the New Testament, so we will read from Exodus chapter 28, commencing to read with verse 2. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now these are the garments of the priest that we purpose speaking on a little while this morning, those that are enumerated in verse 4: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. Now in verses 5 and 6, you have some of the things that are used in making these garments. They shall take gold, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work. Now some of the other things that are found in these garments of glory and beauty are found in verse 17. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosing. Now I am doing this morning what I very, very seldom do. I like to take the ordinary lesson of the Sunday school and teach it if I have a responsibility in the Sunday school or in the Bible class. But as you know, night after night, we have been taking up studies in the tabernacle, and our time is somewhat limited. One night last week, we took two studies in one. We took the boards and the bars, or the boards and the building. And one night this week, we will try to take two studies in one. On Friday night, if the Lord will, we will combine the study on the ark with a study on the ritual of the Day of Atonement. We will not be able to take our study on the Levites, but by taking the high priest and his garments this morning, we will be able to take all the studies that we usually take, with the exception of one study on the Levite. Now I see a number of young folks here, and I'm very happy to see you here. And I would like to speak simply so that you too will be able to understand some of the teachings concerning this man who was the best dressed man in Israel. Not only was he the best dressed man in Israel, but there was never a better dressed woman in all the land of Israel. You have noticed that we read together of all the wonderful things that made up the dress or the clothing of this remarkable man. You talk about Joseph and his coat of many colors. I dare say that they were nothing compared to this man's coat and clothes of many colors. Not only did he have all kinds of colors interwoven in his clothing, but there was a lot of gold connected with it all. In fact, this ephod and this girdle was all mixed up with gold and blue and purple and scarlet and white. There was not only gold interwoven and laced through here, but there was gold on this piece on his breast. There were golden chains here connecting it to the onyx stones up here. These onyx stones were all set in gold, and there were laces of blue connected with it. And across his forehead there was a golden plate. And hanging down under this robe of blue, there was all kind of golden bells. I thought of them as we were singing that hymn together this morning, Gospel Bells, Gospel Bells. And then between every bell, there was a little pomegranate. These pomegranates were all made of red. This one is red and purple. This one is purple and blue. This one here is blue. And they were all mingled together. And then on this breastplate, there were more jewels than any man or any woman, I dare say, ever wore on their clothing. I'm sure that you will agree with me when I say that this man in Israel's history was the best dressed man that this world ever saw. Now, although they were garments of beauty, that isn't exactly the only reason why God had him so well dressed. It wasn't only that people should say, "Oh, what lovely clothing this man has. Did you see that high priest today? And did you see the beautiful colors and the gorgeous precious stones that were on his breast? And did you notice when the sun was shining on that breastplate, the glitter and the beauty that was linked with it?" That wasn't God's purpose. This man's dress was different than almost any other man's dress or any woman's dress. You see, when a lady goes to the store and buys a dress, there's only one thing she thinks about, and that is, how will this look on me? Or how will this make me look when I go on company? But when God told them how to make this lovely dress for this priest, he told them to use these things because every single bit of it meant something. You see, I see a man going down the street and he's in the army or he's in the navy. And a lot of things on his clothes mean something. Now, I don't know what they mean, but that's because I'm stupid about those things. Other people know what they mean. They would say, "Did you see that gold braid around this part of his clothes?" And they say to me, "Well, that means something." And they say, "Did you see those metal things on his shoulder? Well, that means this." And they said, "Did you see that thing on his sleeve of his coat?" And I say, "Yes." "Well," they said, "that means something else." And people who know, why, they know that all these different parts of the soldier's clothes or the sailor's clothes, They all mean something. Now, everything about the beautiful garments of this best dressed man in Israel meant something. Now, what we're going to do this morning is try to find out just what some of these things meant. Of course, nobody knows exactly what everything meant. We're going to find that out by and by when we get to heaven. But you see, this man, we're going to call him Aaron, for Aaron was the first high priest. This man was a picture of the Lord Jesus, of whom we have been reading. And he is our great high priest. Now, there's one thing that is true of our high priest that was not true of this man, Aaron. We were reading of our high priest that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. No man could be that way. There never was a man who was sinless. Aaron was not sinless. Some of you may remember how one time Aaron made a golden calf, and he led all Israel into sin and idolatry. So I say, why, Aaron, you can't be a picture of the Lord Jesus. You're a sinful man yourself, and God knew that. So to make him a real picture of the Lord Jesus, he put on him a bridal coat, and he put a girdle on him, and he put a robe on him, and he put the ephod on him, and he put that breastplate with all the precious stones on him, and he put in the breastplate of Urim and of Thummim, and he gave him the mitre with that gold band around his forehead. And then I see this priest all dressed up in garments of beauty and glory, and I say, oh, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus, and that is the way I want to talk about him to you this morning. I hope you older folks who have been accustomed to come to these meetings will excuse me for just speaking very, very simply this morning, so that these boys and girls who are here can understand what I'm talking about. Now, the first thing we have read about and the first thing we notice in our outline is that he had a broidered coat. You will see it on our little model of the priest. It's that first garment that comes way down to his feet. Now, this garment was made of pure white linen, and it speaks of, as we have noticed in our outline, the perfect, holy, spotless, righteous life of the Lord Jesus. For he was that. He was perfect and without sin. There were certain men in the Bible times who were elders. We have elders today in meetings. But the one thing that was true of an elder was that he was to be without blame. There was a very good man when Jesus lived. His name was Nathanael. And Jesus said to Nathanael, behold, an Israelite without guile. Now, there are people, I think, living today who are blameless and guileless. But I don't think there's anybody living today who is sinless. There's only one person who ever lived who never did anything wrong, who knew no sin, and in whom was no sin. Sin. And that one was the Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest. So you see, if Aaron is going to be a picture of our High Priest, then he must have something about him that reminds us of the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus. And that's why he had this coat of all fine white linen. But there's one thing we read about in the Bible about this coat that isn't true of the one on our model. Someday I'm going to have our artist who made this coat make it that way. This fine white coat was all embroidered work. So it was not only pure and white, but it was lovely. It was a nice coat. So our Lord Jesus Christ was not only perfect, not only righteous, but he was lovely in his righteousness. Now that's not true of many people. Most people I know who are very good, most people I know who never make a mistake, they're not very lovely. Do you know what I mean? You don't like to have much to do with them, because you are always making mistakes, and they never make mistakes, and you don't like to get in their presence, you don't like to have to do with them, because they never make mistakes, and they don't think you ought to either, and they can't have any patience with you if you make a mistake. But you know, the Lord Jesus was not only righteous, but he was so lovely in his righteousness that little children were not afraid of him. And sinners who ran away from the Pharisees who thought they were righteous, they were very quick to run to the Savior, and he was very friendly with them. Now, if I talk about everything as long as I've talked about this white coat, why, you see, it just wouldn't do at all. So we'll hurry on and speak of the next thing, and that is the girdle. That's this thing that hangs down his side, that has made all of those lovely colors, blue, white, purple, and scarlet. The colors we talked about on Friday night when we looked at the gate and the door and the veil. And the colors we talked about the night, you remember, when we spoke about these lovely curtains that covered the tabernacle. Now, seeing we have talked about the meaning of those colors twice, I'm just going to say that the girdle speaks of the perfection of the service of the Lord Jesus. He was not only perfect in his life, but he was perfect in his service. There are many places in the New Testament where we read of his service, but one of the loveliest is in John chapter 13. When the Lord Jesus, knowing all about where he came from, all about the great power that was his, in lowliness he stooped down and washed the disciples' feet. Oh, our Lord Jesus was lovely in his righteous life, but he was lovely in his lowly service. Now, the next thing we notice about him is that he had a robe. And a robe always speaks of something official. It does in the Bible. It does even today. And that robe that the high priest had wasn't white. It was blue. It was all of blue. And it speaks of the Lord Jesus, not as the man like we have in the broidered coat so much, but it speaks of him as the Lord from heaven. If we were to notice in the epistle to the Hebrews from which we read today, we would notice that several times it's called him Jesus. That's not often in the New Testament, but it's often in Hebrews. And then again we read of him as a son of God. Now whenever we read of him in Hebrews as just Jesus, we think of that broidered coat. And whenever we read of him as a son of God, we think of that robe. Not only was that robe made of blue, but it was on the hem of that robe that we had these bells of blue and these bells of gold and these pomegranates of scarlet and purple and blue. And they tell of the Lord Jesus bearing witness to God and bearing fruit for God. There was not the talk of his lips without the fruit of his life. It went side by side all through his life when he was here on earth. And then seeing we will have to hurry, the next thing we have is the ephod. And that is this part of his garment that is made of those lovely colors, but on the shoulder of the ephod there are two stones. They're onyx stones, and they're all set in gold, and the priest has them on his shoulders. Now, if you could go up to the priest in Israel, you would notice that there were all engravings on this onyx stone. And there were all engravings in this onyx stone. You would find the names of six of the children of Israel here, and six of them here, and they're all there according to their age. Reuben would be first, and then Simeon would be second, and then Levi would be third, and then Judah would be fourth. The very fact that they were born into that family gave them a place on the shoulders of the high priest. Now, I wouldn't need to tell the older folks here what that means. That means that every child of God has a place on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus. Why, of course, that's where he put the little lamb and the sheep after he went to find it. That's a place of strength. That's a place of power. That means that the Lord Jesus cares and is mighty in working for everyone who trusts him. He is perfect in his power. But we also have the breastplate. And that was perhaps the loveliest thing in all the high priest's garments. Now, in the onyx stones here, you have all the names on the same kind of stone. But on the breastplate, you have every name on a different kind of stone. They're all different, but they're all precious. There are no duplicates. No, there are wonderful teachings connected with this breastplate. You know, we spoke of the sheep when the good shepherd went after it. He put it on his shoulder. But you read in Isaiah chapter 40 that he carries the lambs in his bosom. You see, that is the place of love on his bosom. And this is the place of power on his shoulder. And Christians sing sometimes, his love is as great as his power and knows neither measure nor end. If you were to look at this little model of the high priest, you would notice that there were golden chains that linked this ephod to the breastplate, so the priest never wore one without wearing the other. It teaches us that the Lord Jesus always loves us, and he's always able to do what he wants to do. He is willing. That's what the breastplate tells us. He is able. That's what the onyx stones tell us. And then we have something that isn't found in our chapter, but is often found in the Bible. The Urim and the Thummim. These were rather strange things that were connected with the breastplate, and they were called that because they mean lights and perfections, and they teach us that our high priest, who is perfectly righteous and perfect in his service and perfect in his power and perfect in his love, is also perfect in his wisdom. That is a lesson that you will need to learn, you who are younger here today. And that is a lesson that the older believers need to learn. I know some Christians who do not doubt his love and who do not doubt his power, but oh, they sometimes doubt his wisdom. And I have already spoken on this subject and have had people come to me and tell me that they were so happy that I reminded them that the Lord Jesus was also perfect in his wisdom. And then he's also perfect in his holiness. We have that in the mitre. For if you would come close to the high priest, you would find these lovely words written right across the top of that turban, holiness unto the Lord. Do you see now why this man, who was only a sinful man, if he was going to be a picture of our Lord Jesus, he had to have all these lovely things about his garment to make him for us a lovely picture of our Savior. And we are doing this morning just what the Lord wants us to do. For we read in Hebrews chapter 3:1, consider the high priest of our confession. Now, I want to tell you one other thing about our high priest, and that is that he is always available. Now, available is a big word, but that means that when we want him, when we need him, he is always there. Now, I have a brother living in Grand Rapids, and he needs a doctor, and needs a doctor very, very badly. But it so happens that all the doctors in Grand Rapids who are important gentlemen are all down to Florida. So he can't get the doctor when he needs him. And he's got to wait till the 4th of March when the doctors come back from Florida. We have a home for old people. And once upon a time, a man in that home needed very special care from a very special kind of doctor. But it happened to be in October and November, and all those doctors were out hunting. So we couldn't get that special kind of a doctor. Now, isn't it nice that our high priest is always available? He's always ready at all times. We can always come to him. We can always come to him boldly. And we can always be quite sure that he's ready and willing and able and loving. We can find in him all we need whenever we need it. I want to just say one word in closing for the older folks, and I'm thankful that the younger folks have listened so well today. And that is that the very fact that there is a high priest tells us there are also other priests. And one of the nice things about the Lord is that he has made us priests too. When we get to heaven, nobody's going to say, I'm a Sunday school teacher.
Nobody's going to say I'm an evangelist.
Nobody's going to say I'm a pastor. But some people are going to say, thou hast made us priests unto our God. And when all these other things that people are trying to be will almost be forgotten forever and forever, we'll be priests unto God. But we're priests now. I wonder whether we should not manifest more perfection in our life. I wonder whether we should not be more like the Lord Jesus in our service. Should we not be more like the Lord Jesus in our love for others and in our sympathy and in our being always ready and always available for the help of God's people? May God grant it for his name.